Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is your co-host, Nikki W. We're switching things up this morning. I'm going to introduce your host, Arthur Mar Prose.
Hello, everyone. Good morning.
Yay. It's Saturday. We have a beautiful day finally in Houston, Texas.
Thank God. For a little while anyway, yeah. Until it starts raining again.
Don't wish that on us. I like the sun.
Don't speak it into existence, right, Nikki?
Don't speak it into existence. That's what I say all the time.
Yes.
We have a great show for you guys today. Our hot topic to start us off is, be ready, has marriage become an antiquated idea? I know there's a lot of people out there that have comments on this, so you can call in to the show and let us know how you feel about that.
Yeah, we really want to hear about your ideas about it. Andre Blayock gave me this idea. I went to him and I said, help, I need a juicy hot topic. So he gave me, has marriage become an antiquated idea? And I just want to read some of the comments that were posted under his post on Facebook. Committed relationships shouldn't resemble marriage. If that's the case, it may be the reason less are opting to marry. That was one. That's Rachel Red. Ricky Wilson said, I still think it should be the goal. I haven't been yet, but many of the fellows say, Rick, man, don't do it. It's just a piece of paper. LOL. I want to do it at least once. I know many couples that are happy. They admit it wasn't all golden, but they don't regret it. And
yeah.
Tanisha Hume says, I hate that marriage has become less of an objective and people can just dispose of someone so easily. I think people that are in those committed relationships playing house are broken and are only into what pleases them. I think the idea of marriage forces them to be stuck per se, and they are afraid of that, and some because they feel they could be missing out on something better.
Right.
I don't know. What do you think, Nick?
I think people's idea of marriage, some people haven't had the the role model of marriage, and some people don't understand what marriage is, that it's more than just this commitment. It's a lot more, and it's more than just somebody helping you with your bills, because that's what some people say, well, I'm going to get married because I just need somebody, I need help, or I just want somebody, just some companionship. But marriage is a lot more than that. So I just think people's understanding over this period of time about marriage has changed. They just don't understand how my grandparents, they were married for 56 years until the day my grandfather died. So a lot of people hadn't seen that type of marriage, as a role model.
That's
so
true. I think that we've lost ultimately, I don't know how to say it right, But, you know, it was something to be valued. It's not valued anymore.
Yeah.
It is more of a, okay, yeah, I'll get married, and we're going to put on this big show. And then if it doesn't work, oh, well, I'll just get a divorce, and I'll move on to the next one, and I'll marry him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no, like, spirituality, nothing behind it. There's no commitment.
Mm-hmm.
We're in this for the long haul. So I think that, and then you have people bad-mouthing that, all or don't do it, don't do it, oh, my God. I mean, that doesn't help either. So
no.
I just think we've lost the true value of it. I think Andre's on. Did we call in? Do you see the number, Nick?
Yeah. Let's see. Hold on.
Well, while we're waiting for that, I will make some announcements. Please do not forget that next Saturday, March 10th, my book officially releases. And it will be in ebook form. It'll be on Amazon. It'll be on Blurb. It'll be on Smashwords for purchase. And it'll be available through my app. We had to work it out, but it will be available. So please, please, please purchase my book.
We have Andre.
Hello. Hi, Andre.
Howdy. What's up?
How are you
doing? I'm doing fantastic.
Good.
How you doing?
I'm great.
Thank you for the great topic.
Girl, yeah.
Yes.
I heard y'all blah, blah, blah a little bit when I was on. Mari, you were saying that you think that a lot of people have just lost the traditional value of marriage. And I would tend to, I'm not going to say agree like they lost the value, but there's so many things that have taken place as it pertains to marriage, the redefinition of what it was. Like, people used to get married for love only.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I kind of said yesterday, perhaps love is a driving force behind the reason of the decline of marriage, because too much emotional attachment and not enough logical thinking, you know, goes into that. So many assume that love is all that's required, especially if it's true love, and it will conquer all and cover all in the relationship, until it doesn't. Hurt feelings, deep disappointments, and continual piece-by-piece heartbreak take a toll on most unions. And if your emotions are at the helm, a shipwreck is bound to eventually occur. So being on the receiving end of love given by an emotionally immature and insecure person has many people second-guessing forever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when it comes to millennials, they're choosing to get married. They want to get married, but they're citing economical reasons and educational reasons as reasons that they don't, because they're not willing to run into it like, you know, ooh, I just love you. I love you, and we'll last forever. They're not taking that romantic approach that our grandparents maybe have taken before. But marriage back in the day, you got to realize it was an economic union. You know,
mm-hmm,
they needed
each
other to sustain the household.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they couldn't leave. They stayed together because it was a disgrace in our grandparents' age to get divorced. It was very frowned upon. And a lot of times they couldn't just divorce and make it on their own because they didn't have the education and the financial means. So a lot of people stayed together 50, 60, 70 years, not because they loved each other so much, but heck, that was the only opportunity they had afforded to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that as I talk to people personally, I think that people do love marriage, but I think that in society, I really think that we need to redefine certain things. I think we talked about it last time, like monogamy for one. I think monogamy needs to be redefined, because the way that it's defined these days, it sets an almost impossible standard. It's one thing if infidelity had one meaning alone. But in the 21st century, people think sexting is cheating. People think watching pornography is cheating. People think sex dolls are cheating. People think being on websites that your partner knows nothing about is cheating. So, and then you have emotional infidelity coupled with the traditional physical infidelity. People don't know what the heck is going on. Now, you mean to tell me I could be married to you for 50 or 60 years if I even had a thought about, gosh, I wonder what it would be like to be with Alicia, what it would be like to be go home to her and eating her cooking and having sex with her. If I thought that, that's emotional infidelity, and I've completely been a failure at monogamy. That's not real life.
Right.
I mean, I think it just sets up, and because people look at infidelity as an unforgivable sin against the relationship, we treat it and experience it that way. And I just think that millennials are more realistic in their approach to, like, okay, I might see other people that I might want to be with. It don't mean that I will be with them, but I can acknowledge it. And there are other factors at play. We can still have this lifestyle without getting married. And a lot of them are opting to do that because it's cheaper.
Yeah,
it is. And you do need a double income, just more than a double income, to survive in this day and age. But I agree with you, Andre. I do think we need to put some definitions behind that, because so many people are quick to yell, he was unfaithful, he was unfaithful. To be unfaithful is if you're developing an emotional connection with that person, you actually fell in love with that person, you wanted to be with that person, and I'm slowly being pushed out of the picture, to me, that's infidelity. Okay? You've destroyed what we had. But, you know, watching porn, and I mean, Cinemax has a bunch of nasty porn and stuff on there. I mean, do you get mad at somebody because they want to watch Cinemax? Really? Cinemax has been like that all the time. You know, we can't be too petty about all this stuff, all right? You got to look at your relationship, look at the foundation of it, why are you together, and then go from there. And like I say, if he is starting to fall in love with somebody else, wanting to be with somebody else, not coming home, then yeah, that's infidelity.
Yeah.
That needs to be addressed.
Yeah,
but the rest of that stuff, I mean, you know, the rest of that stuff is just like, okay, that's his quiet time. I can't have quiet time. I mean, so is it infidelity for the women who read and get turned on by 50 Shades of Grey and they are attracted to that fictional character and wish that they were him? I mean, the girl in the book, they wish they were the girl in the book. You know,
right.
Is that infidelity too? So, no, I think we're being ridiculous.
I really think that you get good at what you practice, and because a lot of these committed relationships, boyfriend, girlfriends, if that's what you want to call it, they resemble marriage without the matrimony. Living together, buying property together, having kids together. Everything that married couples do, you find in these committed relationships. And it's like, if your boyfriend cheats on you, I ain't going to put up with that. I'm leaving you. So you get in this vicious cycle of leaving and starting over again. All you're doing is practicing divorce because you're so committed in these relationships, just like they were your husband or your wife, that when you leave, a divorce does occur emotionally, maybe not financially, but some of these people that have bought houses together, they have to really fight for custody of houses and dogs.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, there's
I've
no need
that.
If I can have, so if I can have the same, if I can have all the benefits of marriage without matrimony, why am I going to do it? Why? And I think that a lot of times it falls on, and I hate to say this because this might sound so sexist, but I think a large part of it falls on ladies because y'all are so willing to be put on layaway with just words, you know? I can't, and I think I said this before, Nikki and Mara, you cannot go anywhere and purchase anything of value or put it on layaway without it costing you something. But I can meet you and talk to you for a few weeks or a few months and hit you with this, and most women fall for it. You know what? I'm not into games. I'm serious. I really want to do something serious in my life. I really think that you're the type of person I can build something with, and I was wondering, can you and I see each other exclusively to see where this goes? And most would be like, yeah, sure. And now all of a sudden you've been put on layaway and you don't have a toe ring, a belly ring, a nose ring. You have nothing. I effectively took you off the market, put you in the back room, put you on layaway so nobody else can touch, see, or handle you. And it cost me nothing. And this is kind of like, and I think it starts with women because you're too valuable for a guy to be able to put you off to the side like that. And most women fall to the traditional sense, well, I can't get to know more than one person at a time. that's just being hoish and stuff. I'm like, that don't mean you sleeping with nobody, but you better learn how to get to know more than one person at a time. It's called process of elimination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's exactly,
exactly
what it's called. You
mm-hmm.
know, and I think that a person who's serious, if I'm dating three women at a time and I'm serious about this, I, through the process of elimination over time, will eliminate two and end up with one that I can really maybe give her a friendship ring or commit to let her know it's going to cost me something to get your time on this level to see where this
mm-hmm.
goes. I'm serious. But most guys or people who are not serious, I might start with three, get rid of two, and pick up five more. See, a person like that
right.
is just really wanting to play. You know,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
but you better get good at process of elimination. But it starts with women. Stop being put on layaway, and it costs these jokers nothing. And they use up
yeah.
6 months, 7 months, 8 months, or a year of your time, then leave you, and you got to start from ground zero, getting to know somebody new. No, I'm going to have somebody in the wings.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And a lot of them just go off of words. It's all you have to do is say a certain thing, and there's no actions behind it at all,
yeah.
ever. They just keep listening
Ever.
To the words. They'll say something. And I always tell them, I say, okay, well, when you show me that, we can talk. Because I've
okay.
heard all the words and all the lines
mm-hmm.
and, you know,
mm-hmm.
what you're going to do for me and all this other stuff. You need to show me. Okay?
Okay.
That's just how.
I'm the same way. And I have a question for y'all. Then I shut up because this is an interesting conversation for me. But I want to hear from a woman's perspective. I was talking to one the other day that was in a relationship for 15 years with this man.
Whoa.
And he would step out a few times. He kept on Facebook liking this particular woman's pictures, and she got upset, and that was going on for 2 years. And anyway, she called me. She's like, I'm frustrated. I don't know what to do. What can I do to make him stop? I'm like, well, you can't make him stop. But in 15
mm-hmm.
years, what can you do for him that you haven't already done? What can he experience with you that he hasn't already experienced? Your expiration date has passed, baby. You are not going to get married. He is not
no.
going to marry you.
No.
And she got so mad
That's
at me, but I want
there.
To know, yeah, but is that so unrealistic to assume that you can go past a certain time limit where your value, if he's experienced everything that you have to offer, what's there to look forward to?
Exactly. And what'd she get mad at you
yeah,
for? She's the one stayed around for 15 years with,
well,
you know, out of promise or anything. I mean, that's what you chose to do. That's not our problem.
It was,
because
she's like,
I
mean, but
I
just
that's why she got mad.
I don't
mm-hmm.
know, because I'm thinking a lot of people prove, they feel that that you have to prove that you're marriage worthy before you get married.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing is, but you, there's certain things. And I think this goes along with why people aren't getting married anymore. If I can get everything or all the benefits of a marriage without marrying you, why will I do it? And because I don't know who, if your audience is mostly male or female, hopefully it's even, but mine are mostly females. And I tell the ladies, I'm like, ladies, from a male's perspective, men left to their own vices do not change. We remain the same. We do the same thing over and over again. If it's working, we don't fix it. Now, when it comes to women, I can do the same thing. Mara, if I meet you, I'm going to work my game plan. And it's going to work with you until it stops. Now, when it stops, either I have to change or that's when we say you're a nag. Why you keep nagging? Why you keep nagging? In other words, you're tired of my repetitiveness. You want me to move. I would rather leave you and go to Nikki and work my game plan because it will work on Nikki to a certain point. And I'm like, ladies, it's like that
game,
for
huh?
man after man. That's the
yeah.
game. I'm going to work it until it stops and it's easy for me to get somebody else. But I'm saying
yeah.
if ladies would just kind of change the mentality a little bit, guys can be motivated, encouraged, or inspired to change by outside force, and normally that outside force can be a woman, but a lot of y'all just don't know how to do it, and it's like that's why you're not getting the rings, because they're running that gameplay on you over and over again.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like,
you know,
selfishness plays a huge part of it. From someone that was married 25 years, when it starts being where it's just you and then yourself, and y'all are going in two different directions and everything, and that's a big deal in dating. It's me, me, me. It's my feelings, what I want. You know, people these days, to me, don't know the first thing about compromise. So therefore,
right.
Yeah, you can't have a marriage, because a marriage
mm-hmm.
isn't about you anymore, just you. You have to think about the other person, and you're both compromising constantly, and it's a lot of work. And people do not
mm-hmm.
want to put in a lot of work.
Right. This is true. They really don't. And
yeah.
It's like when you start looking at, like, for what? I mean, I think that it's like it's very important for before you sit in that on the passenger seat in that car of relationship and head down the highway of love, you should know where we're going, what's your destination. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're not going to agree on everything. We're not going to agree. Sometimes I might have to pee and you go right by the exit. That's going to frustrate me, you know. but it's like, as long as we hit a rest stop along the way, I don't have to have my way all the time, but at least I know we're going from here to there. A lot of people don't decide where they're going. They just kind of think
mm-hmm.
once we fall in love, love is going to conquer all. It's not, because
mm-hmm.
I'm an individual. And you have to allow your partner to maintain their individuality within the confines
mm-hmm.
of your relationship so that you can grow and have stuff to talk about, you know. But I think that a lot of times when people withhold information, I'm not going to marry you because if I expose my truth to you, you're going to bite my head off, you know. And I don't want you to bite
mm-hmm.
my head off for the next 15, 20 years, because this is how I am. You know, and I just, I don't think that people want it. Like I said, I think that people ultimately want to get married. But I think that the way that we start presented with the
mm-hmm.
wisdom applied today, people saw that grandma and grandpa weren't happy. They stayed together. They put up a good front, but they did it out of necessity.
Right.
You know? Not all the time,
mm-hmm.
not all the time, but I have better options. I'm not going to live 50, 60 years under those circumstances, because grandma know that grandpa had another family across town, but grandma couldn't leave because she didn't have disposable income, reliable transportation,
mm-hmm.
or a network outside of that community to go somewhere else. So she
mm-hmm.
stayed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Not that she was happy, but back then it's like they would say, don't you let that other woman break up your home. You better fight for your husband. No, good. Well, he got
mm-hmm.
a whole family somewhere else. But what can she do?
Yeah.
These days, with these millennials making six figures a year, they're not putting up with that. They don't have
no.
to.
Mm-mm.
So it's just different. Like I said, so I don't know. People
yeah.
are not, I think that we want to get married, but it's got to look different.
Yeah, I agree.
Well,
it's definitely got to look different.
Well, I could blah, blah, blah.
Great commentary,
kind of
Andre.
Y'all. Well, thank you. I mean, I just wanted to kind of call in and everything. Thanks for having me. I got to dip off because I got somewhere else to be at 11
okay,
o'clock
yeah.
on another call. But thank you for having me today.
Well,
you're
you
welcome. Thank you for stopping in.
Absolutely.
And a great topic.
Talk to y'all later. Yes.
All right.
Bye, ladies.
Daryl.
Hey, good morning. How's everybody
good
doing?
Good morning. How are
good
you
morning,
doing?
Daryl.
I'm refreshed.
Well, I'm happy to hear that.
That's all I'm doing.
You're happy
yeah,
to hear that,
yeah.
Daryl.
And wide awake. And wide
that's
awake.
Right. That's what we like. That's what we like.
So we got
right.
about 6 more minutes to talk about this before we go into our special guest. So give us your opinion. Has marriage become an antiquated idea?
Well, you know, when I've seen this topic, I thought that, you know, first of all, things are completely different. That goes without being saying. That's the understatement. But I think what you have to do is make sure you map out exactly what it is you will and you will not stand for within a marriage. And, of course, in many times you're going to have to compromise in some capacity when it relates to that, because I don't think you're going to get everything that you want within a marriage. That's where the compromise comes in. So it's just a matter of you have to trust your gut feeling. When you're with someone, if this person is someone that you feel that you can totally grow and build with, then, you know, those are the good signs. Those are the good flags. The bad flags are, you know, bad relationships with their family and, you know, things like that, how they treat their mother or how they treat their parents, things of that nature. So
right.
It just totally depends on each situation and how those particular two people feel about each other and whether or not they're moving in the same direction. And I think that's the major part about whether or not people are looking to get married at this point in time. And then also your long-term goals. Are they the same? These are the kind of questions that people need to ask each other in order to
mm-hmm.
find that common ground and be able to create some level of chemistry and compatibility together. So I just think that it just totally depends on each individual situation with those particular couples.
Yeah, I think,
right.
You know, I think it's too easy just to what I call shack up. You know, there's so
mm-hmm.
many people that move in and out with each other, in and out with each other all the time. And it's easy just to just take your half and go. And marriage has just not become a priority. And like Andre was saying, in the past, it was a necessity. You know, you had to stay together for financial reasons, the children. These days, you don't have to do that. I mean, women are
mm-hmm.
making a very good salary, and they can take care of themselves independently. You know, they're doing their own thing, and it's just all really disconnected now. And nothing, people are playing games, like Andre said, you know, with the mindset of, okay, I'll run my game on this one. Oops, it's not working on her. Let me go over to the friend. It may work on her and stuff. See, there's nothing serious behind it. So how can marriage be valued when you're not even valuing just a basic relationship?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Mara, I think the other thing is that, and unfortunately, I say this about my brothers, many men still continue to, as you say, play the games that they did when they were teenagers and young adults instead of maturing into a whole nother level to where they understand that this is no longer a game. This is about
mm-hmm.
your life. You know, this
mm-hmm.
is how you're
mm-hmm.
going to set up the rest of your life. You know, and life is not a game. You know, life is real. It's as real
mm-hmm.
as you can get. And that's why I say the questions need to be asked as far as what are people's, you know, long life ambitions. I mean, do it set up with your goals and your objectives of where you're working towards? Are you traveling the same road? You know, and if you're traveling the same road, then, you know, of course, you know, you can build some level of some type of foundation for a long relationship with people. These are questions and situations that people need to sit down and really have a conversation about before they start, quote unquote, shacking up. Because you got some people shacking up together, they don't know anything about each other in terms
mm-hmm.
of where they come from, what their 2-year plans are, what their 5-year goals are, nothing of that sort. You know, they're just winging it.
They just look at the outside of that person
mm-hmm.
and say, oh, she looks good, you know. Oh, she can cook. Oh,
mm-hmm.
he looks good, you know.
Very superficial.
Oh, he makes good money, you know. So, yeah, it's so superficial.
Yeah.
Well, I think we could talk about this topic for on and on and on, but we're running out of time, and we need to introduce John McIntyre, which I'm going to let Nikki read his bio, and we'll bring him in. Daryl, you're welcome to stay with us, learn some investing
Indeed.
Tips, and ask questions. We'd love to have you.
Indeed. I'll stick around.
Thank you for stopping in, Daryl.
Yeah, thank you so much. All right, Nikki, I'll let you do the bio.
Yes, ma'am. Sorry. I'm crisscrossed here. I got it.
See it in the yeah.
I got it. So today we have Mr. John McIntyre. He's a financial coach, speaker, TV host, dedicated to helping people live a happier, wealthier, and more fulfilling life. He is the founder of the McIntyre Group and has served as an advisor, coach, consultant to hundreds of clients from all walks of life. For more than a decade, John's coaching, speaking engagements, and TV program has helped people create a financial plan to live the life of their dreams, purchase their first home, begin their marriage on a strong financial foundation, turn their passions, skills, and talents into successful businesses, invest to build wealth and provide a comfortable retirement, ensure their financial future through insurance and other protection strategies, and get from under massive amounts of crushing debt. And I think that this is a huge topic because there's so many of us, myself included, that just don't understand investing and saving, you know. So, yeah, we're really, really glad to have him on the show today.
Yes, welcome, John. You're live.
Okay, thank you for having me today.
All right, welcome.
I really enjoy listening to the topic. And I was really laughing. I was laughing at Andre because Andre and I, we've done he's been on my show just recently within the past 30 days, and we talked about relationships and money.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was talking about, a lot of that, you know, it really intersects with finances. And, you know, with this being a female-led show, and I know that most of your audience is, you know, are women, I'll leave it there, but I was just laughing about it. It was just so funny to me to hear, you know, what was going on, but it was a great dialogue. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, Andre, he just makes sure that you take accountability regardless of who you are, and he does not let women skate by with, you know, putting the blame or playing the victim or whatever. He's going to call it like it is, which is why I just love having him on my show, because he's just going to say how it is, and then you go from there.
Yes, most definitely.
No apologies about it.
Right, and I think that's where he and I really hit it off. You know, we haven't known each other, you know, for a long time, but he and I, we really hit it off because we're both the same way, you know, whether it's finances, you know, love, you know, wherever, you have to be real. You know, you have to, you know, it takes and the gentleman that was just talking, it takes a level of maturity to handle these things because life is serious.
Yeah.
You know, it really is.
Is.
So, and we have to play the game to win, whether it's money, relationships, or whatever, and especially with money because, you know, once a dollar is lost, it's lost.
Exactly.
Or, you know, once that great relationship is lost, you know, you could do damage control, but, you know, I'm one of those types. I believe in preventive maintenance. You know, let's do the work to prevent something from happening, because it's much cheaper to prevent it than it is
to
repair it.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
It is a lot cheaper, you know, and we know, speaking on financial terms, you know, the word divorce was used a lot. Divorces are expensive today.
Mm-hmm.
Heck yeah, they are. They're really expensive, especially with people who have financial means already. If you have yourself already situated and you try to get a divorce, my goodness. That's why that term comes as cheaper to keep her.
Cheaper to – right. Well, exactly. Let's make sure, you know, with today's times, you know, you guys and I didn't want to, you know, like take over with that part, but at least say this. You know, with today's times and that lack of commitment, you know, comes a lot of waste.
Yeah.
Because you've spent a lot of time, you've invested a lot of your talents, treasures, time, money into this relationship, and now is broken and you can't get back the time, you know, the relationship is broken, you can't get the money back or anything, because I like to say, you know, I've coached a lot of newlyweds, you know, premarital coaching and counseling, you know, in finances. And I say this pretty much is a no money back guarantee. You know, once it's spent, it's spent.
Yeah.
So it would be easy, you know, it would be nice if I kept a running tab and I said, okay, so you're trying to leave me now, and I've spent $45,000 on you, you know, in the past couple of years. I would like that back, please. Well, you know, that's not going to happen.
See what the response
right.
you get from that, yeah.
No,
right, exactly. Yeah, you'll get the biggest laugh you've ever received. I mean, you can't go on Judge Judy because Judge Judy, she will laugh you out of the court. So,
oh God,
what are you going
to
do?
Yeah,
you want to see the receipt.
I know when I was in oil and gas, John, and like when it was benefit time, and we would get like our stock options and time to, you know, change our 401k or whatever. It was like so much anxiety between the females in the office because. What do we choose? You know,
right.
What does this
right.
mean? What does that? What should you do? Should we cash out now? Should we keep this in the stock? You know, I don't. It was just so much chaos, and I think there's got to be just an easy way for women to learn to start investing. So what do you advise?
Okay, well, just what you said is that's prevailing across the United States as far as women and investing, because, you know, there's you know, statistics show that 65% of the women don't participate in their workplace investment accounts, whether it's 401k and the for-profit or 403b and the nonprofit, mainly because of that, because of the stress. And so, you know, you have, you know, almost two-thirds of the women in the marketplace probably making excellent incomes, and they're not participating in probably one of the best ways of investing. Because, you know, most investment plans, especially with companies, you know, especially great companies today, they usually have those matches where they'll match a dollar for a dollar investment, things like that. And, you know, there's so many women I've talked to that, you know, I ask them, you know, what about your 401k? How much do you contribute? Well, I don't contribute to it, and I know about that particular 401k plan. I'm like, you know, you're missing, like, double. And that branches off, you know, that comes from not really being confident with money, because women are you know, they're very eager to learn about investing, but where they really lack that confidence in having the conversation, you know, and so that keeps, so anywhere, you know, wherever you are in life, you know, any area of life that you're not confident in, you just will shut down towards it, you know. And so when it comes to money.
And I know the material that we received on it, you know, to instruct us on how to invest and stuff was not user-friendly at all. It was so complex to read, and it made it even more confusing to, you know, set up our accounts. I always did my 401k because oil and gas was always very generous. You got between a match of 6% to 10%, sometimes 15%. So, you know, you're not going to give away that free money. But you don't know what I never knew. Am I maximizing what I should be getting? Am I choosing the right investments or whatever? You know, I just never knew that. And I know there's several other women, and I still have friends in oil and gas, and they still go through the same struggles about what should I choose? Do I go more aggressive? When do I go more aggressive? Okay, if I'm 40 now, do I go aggressive or do, you know, it's that type of conversation that go on. When do we do certain stuff for in preparation for retirement?
Well, first of all, I would say, just like a relationship, you know, you guys were talking about relationship, and at the beginning of a relationship, first thing you are to do, you know, you are to get to know the person, right? And because you want to understand who the person is. Well, it's the same thing with money. Money and money follows values, you know, value, the value system of a person, which means, you know, what is important to me? you know, what's very important. And then, you know, values and goals, they run together. You establish your values, and then you kind of make your goals from those values. For instance, if I value travel, then a lot of my resources are going to go towards traveling. You know, you know, people that value traveling, for instance, they save their money to travel. You know, everything they manage their time so that they can have free time to travel, for instance. And so, with your finances, the first thing is to understand your values. What are your goals? You know, where are you in life? What stage? Like you mentioned, you know, I am at this age. Do I become more aggressive? Well, it all depends on your goals. What do you want to do when you do retire? You know, what are your plans? And I tell people, let's not. It's good to plan for the future. You know, and I've helped, you know, hundreds of people put their plans together, but at the same time, what do you want to do today?
Right.
Because some people, yes, they sock so much of their money away just thinking about the future. You know, when I retire, well, okay, how old are you now? I'm 30 years old. Okay, well, and you're female. The average female that's in, you know, decent health, you know, they don't even have to be in perfect health. In America, you know, will live, you know, late 70s, 80s even. And in today's time, you know, the average 30-year-old, they, you know, doctors, the health field is constantly saying, you know, you could easily make it to your to be 100 and live into your hundreds if you do it halfway right. So, okay,
yeah.
So you're 30 now. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I've seen those commercials where they talk about investing, and then they say, well, what do you want to do today? I never thought about that.
Right.
I always thought about, like you said, where is my money going to go? What is my money doing? So when I retire, I'll be able to not have to go, you know, be a greeter at Walmart, only if I really and truly want to do something extra, you know,
right, exactly.
You know, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Right, I agree. That's exactly right. You hit it. You are exactly right because I know a lot of your listeners probably have children, they have spouses, they have houses, they have cars, they have pets, they have, you know, they have to educate them, they have to take care of them, you know, and maintain them. And so that takes planning also. So investing in the, well, let me say this, investing as a whole, we're all investors. It's just what type of, you know, how good of an investor you are, because investing is more than just putting money into the stock market or real estate. Investing is really how your overall, you know, approach to money management, how you look at money, how you handle it is really what makes you a good investor or a bad investor, you know. And for the scope of this particular show, I just mentioned that, you know, there are roughly six levels of investors, you know, from zero to that person who barely eking by, you know, they depend on the government, whatever, to the spender, to the saver, you know, all the way up to the, you know, the Warren Buffetts of the world, you know, what we call the stewards of the world, who steward their money very well. And wherever you see a crisis or wherever you see a huge need there, that, you know, there, those are the ones the libraries are built for, you know, built in honor of. They build libraries. They have the statues. You know, they're very influential people around the world now because we're in a global economy. And these are the, you know, for instance, that there's the big flood that happened over in Puerto Rico. For instance, you know, you can bet your bottom dollar, or Houston, you know, like in Houston, Myra, you're in Houston now, correct?
Right. That's right.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys had a real bad catastrophe late in the fall, you know, with the flooding and everything. It wasn't the poor people that's rebuilding Houston that came to the rescue. It was the wealthy people, right?
Right.
Right. So those were the stewards of the world, you know, everywhere. You know, and so that was just a touch on everything, but we're all investors. It just depends on what type of an investor you are. And so you have to look at it coming back to, okay, I have this money. And so I have to pay taxes. I have to feed myself. I have to feed others. You know, I do a lot with this. I pay for my car, put gas in the car, maintain. You know, with money, you're acquiring it, you're growing it, you're protecting it, you're spending it, and you eventually you will pass it on.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to learn how to do all of that simultaneously every day. I have to put some away for retirement, but at the same time, I have to manage what I, you know, my day-to-day living.
So, John, question to make this more like personal mm-hmm. tomorrow pros, because I'm curious, because it's where
okay.
I'm at right now. You know,
okay.
I am building a business. I'm building
mm-hmm.
a publishing side, but recently I just started to, I decided to do a media side as well. And
right.
one of my heartburns at night is managing this money right to maximize and do everything that we need to do, not going overboard on advertisements, but not under it either. How do you advise people? How do you help people when they're trying to build their businesses and following their passions, especially with my book dropping next week? You know, it's
uh-huh.
we're going into it where, okay, the book drops. But Nikki and I haven't really sat down and looked at, like, just all the figures. What if we make this amount of money? We know how many books we want to sell, but then how much is Amazon taking? How much is left over? How much do we need for marketing? Do you help businesses map out a plan like that?
Yes, I've helped. Most of the time when I'm helping individuals, usually every person's dream, I rarely speak to a person who doesn't want to own a business. You know,
mm-hmm.
and me personally, that's one of the best investments out there, in my opinion. Your education and a business for yourself, even if it's a side hustle, it's still one of the best investments because, I'll say this and then I'll come back and make sure, and we'll answer your question. If a
mm-hmm.
person is 40 years old and they're behind, you know, and they like, you know, I really don't have much saved for retirement and everything, and then once I ask them and find out what it is they want to do, you know, really want to do in life, I said, okay, it's going to take a lot of money, and even if you are making six figures, you've accumulated some other things that you have to take care of. You have to pay for them and maintain them. So you need something that will fuel that by itself. So a side hustle is usually a small business, you know, side business, or if you aspire to, you know, overall entrepreneurship, that's the best investment you can make and not apply it to your lifestyle that you have now. Because
mm-hmm.
most people are focused on living a lifestyle cycle, which means their money is constantly supporting their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a wealth cycle, when you switch from a lifestyle cycle to a wealth cycle, your wealth cycle becomes the umbrella that will support your lifestyle, but it will take care of those other things too. And so when you start a business, you know, you sit down up front, and all major businesses, I don't know, you know, how far up in the, you know, corporate world you were, how close to, you know, you got to, you know, to the inside, but I'm quite sure you had set in department meetings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when someone would have a project to take care of, what was usually the first thing they would do with the, you know, before it, you know, to get the project started? What would they ask? And it's just a quick.
They would actually, which department we were charging it to.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Most. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Yes, I agree with that. That's the first thing they ask us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's the first thing. Which department is going to finance this?
Finance, exactly. Which department is going to finance? And then, is it in the budget?
Right.
Is it in the budget? In the business world, you know, you hear it probably in department meetings. It's called budget. But most of the time, when you're the you know, the higher up, the executives, they don't use the word budget. They use the word forecasting.
Mm-hmm.
And forecasting is the same thing as budget. You know,
mm-hmm.
budgeting, most people in when it comes to business, you know, and being an entrepreneur is more than just that product or your art or whatever. You know, you have to know accounting, you have to know, you have to know finance, you have to know accounting, you have to know marketing, you know, you have to know some law or, you know, have access to this big bank of resources that can help you in all of those areas. Well, when it comes to business, for instance, you have to forecast out because forecasting is a budget. A budget tells your money what to do. And most people, they confuse budgeting with accounting. budgeting, forecasting tells your money what to do in the business. Accounting tells you what your money has done.
Mm-hmm.
So accounting looks back. Forecasting looks forward. Budgeting and forecasting looks forward. Budgeting is almost like a four-letter word to most people. You know, they whether it's in business, most of the time it comes from personal things. I don't want to budget. That's too constrictive. Well, no, it's not constrictive. The better you budget, the more freedom you will have, because you don't have
That's
to
true.
Worry about, okay, this month, this dollar that I put over here for my business, or if you're inside of the business and you've set up your forecasting, this dollar that I've set up for marketing is going to be just for that. And this dollar here will be for paying my advisors. This dollar will be for paying my salary once I get to a certain point. This dollar will be for this. And from my experience, the better your plan is, the better your forecasting is, you increase your chances of success with the business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I've known a lot of entrepreneurs. I've seen probably more entrepreneurs fail from the inside than the outside, which means they weren't prepared for the success that came.
Right.
And they sort of imploded, you know.
I've seen that too, yeah.
Yeah.
And I tell people all the time too, you know, when I was in oil and gas and, you know, yeah, I did work really closely with the so-called good old boy network and stuff. They were not
mm-hmm.
flashy about their money. They
mm-hmm.
didn't want you to
no.
know that they had money. They were using coupons when they traveled. They, you know, their cars were 5 year old, but they were sitting on millions.
Right.
You know, and
right.
that's what I tell people right there. What is your mindset also going into this? What are you trying to get out of the investment? If you're trying to get rich, to me, that's the wrong goal. I think you should try to get your life established and stable. So, you know, have emergency funds for the things that pop up in life.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely plan for retirement and stuff. You
mm-hmm.
know, you never know what's going to go, but to have that money sitting there and it's growing interest, but not so you can go out and buy a Bentley or, you know, flash a big old necklace on you. I mean, see, that's just foolish to me. Don't
right.
do
well,
stuff
it,
that's going to
you know,
depreciate.
It, right. And you know, while you, since you mentioned that, let's talk about that. If it is, you know, I never tell a person what they should do with their money. What I tell them is, I ask them, what do you want to do with your money, and then map out a plan there. Because, for instance, let's look at the hip hop world, for instance. Okay,
mm-hmm.
a lot of the moguls, you know, those higher up. Rappers and entertainment folk, they have a lot of jewelry, they have a lot of bling, right? A lot of that is their collateral. You know, they buy it and they only wear it when they're in their videos or if they're out somewhere. Most of the time, you know, they're
mm-hmm.
not walking around with those big diamonds and, you know, the big diamond studded Rolexes and everything like that. It's sitting somewhere in a safety deposit box most of the time, because
mm-hmm.
In their early years, those are assets. You know, you buy a good Rolex. I mean, you know, I used to, till I got the one that I really wanted, I traded Rolexes, you know, through eBay till I got the one that
mm-hmm.
I wanted. And every now and then I will still do it, because they will appreciate. That is an asset. They will appreciate. You know, diamonds will appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gold will appreciate. Platinum will appreciate. Those type of things. So, in the hip-hop world, for instance, the reason why, you know, I learned that by, you know, I advised someone that was in the entertainment industry, you know, they was like, well, I don't really wear this. You know, I bought it. It's in the safety deposit box. And sometimes if I need a loan, that's my collateral.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so, yeah,
yeah.
So it's like any other asset, like a stock, for instance. You know, you can borrow on it. You know, you can do whatever. You can sell it or whatever. And so they look at it. And so I said that to say, just to, sometimes some people will think, well, they're being flashy. Well, you know, not exactly. If I see a lady, I know I have partners here, you know, I'm in the Charlotte area. I have a friend, she makes a lot of money and she wants the world to know it, right?
Right.
But she has everything in place. She has everything in place. Yeah, she wears the big diamond ring. She wears the, you know, the gold. She drives a Maybach. She has a Ferrari also. But those things are so, they're such a low part of her net worth that it really doesn't mm-hmm. affect her. You know, it really yeah. doesn't. And so it's no big deal to her. And all of that stuff is insured. All of it is not in the, you know, the what they call the doodad column, which is just a bunch of junk. These things are assets. They're on her net worth statement. And most wealthy people, well, no, let me put it the right way. All wealthy people, truly wealthy people, they have more than one net worth statement. Mm-hmm. You know, and in the banking world, there's more than one net worth statement. There's one net worth statement the bank uses to give you a loan, which is to say this house is appraising at $1 million, for instance, okay? I personally don't have my personal home on my net worth statement because who knows the economy. I was in real estate. That's where I got my business. That's how I got, you know, that's where I started in business. Not all mm-hmm. property appreciates.
Right.
You know, yeah, we have properties. So I know plenty of people that paid, you know, $300,000 for their house, and the recession hit. They can't sell their home for $100,000 now. That's not an asset.
No.
So, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, John, we're down to like 3.5 minutes, and I want to make
yeah.
sure that everybody knows how to, I mean, we could go on and on, so we're going to have you come back so we can talk
sure.
about this some more and get some more tips from you if you're open to that. But I want to
oh,
make
yeah.
sure that
yeah.
the listeners know, I know you have a TV show,
mm-hmm.
you know, you speak at events, so can you just tell us how we can follow you, get in touch with you, all your social media?
Okay, well, my website is johnmcintyre.com. That's the easiest way to contact me. You know, just go to the website. Well, new website is being rebuilt because I didn't know technology. I chose the wrong person in technology, which is another lesson. Choose the right advisors. A bad
mm-hmm.
virus hit my site, wiped me out completely. So I had to start
mm-hmm.
all over again with technology. Yeah, so, you know, which builds on what, you know, what we were talking here, you know, choosing the right advisors and everything like that, that on the level that you're on. Well, you know, I have a new site up. It's johnmcintyre.com, and that's the easiest way. I am on Facebook. You know, it's johndmcintyre.com. I mean, yes, John D. McIntyre, I'm sorry. But if you go to the website, that's the easiest way to contact me.
Okay, great.
Okay. Well, thank you, John, because I definitely have a question.
Yeah, we have a lot more questions for you, so you definitely have to come back. Because we but it was great. I'm glad that you were able to make it. Thank you, John. We've learned a lot. Thank you, Nikki, for switching things around for me today.
Oh, yeah.
I just haven't done that.
Thank you for switching things around for me.
Yeah. But next week is in a very important week. So listen to this, John, Daryl. The whole segment is about my book. My book officially drops next week. We'll have Facebook Live. You'll get to see some of the event. Please purchase my book. Support me. Next week is an exciting weekend. So that's going to be on
yes.
Prosy Corner. Mara's book, The Davenport, The Battle of Wills.
Yes, Mara, and I want to say this, just, you know, that book that you've written, you know, that's an asset. That's
yeah,
something
that, is.
That can make you money as long
that
as you want to.
Yeah.
So that's a
it's
great
better.
Investment, too.
Well, all of y'all have a blessed weekend. Enjoy the rest of your day. And like I said, I look forward to keeping in touch and having you back, John.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
I look forward to it. Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed
it. Thank you.
Bye, Daryl.